Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I love that confession of faith, amen. But I'm getting a little echo up here, if you could help me out, please. But if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. My subject this morning, water baptism, faith in action. Water baptism, faith in action. So many people are looking for faith, but faith is obeying the Word of God and doing what the Word of God says to do. Jesus is our perfect example of water baptism, and if Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, then you and I, we need to follow him in water baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, allow it to be so now, for thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. King James said, suffereth him. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God was pleased with his Son, and God was so pleased with his Son and his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, that God raised him from the dead. Then Jesus, after he was resurrected, ascended into heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. God accepted that blood and said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The claims of justice have been satisfied. If you've never been born again, you can be born again simply by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And after you're saved, we're to follow the Lord in water baptism to make a statement. And as I conclude this sermon today, you will find out exactly what that statement you're making is. Let us pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for these people that have come to join the church. Thank you for the body of Christ, Lord, worldwide. And, Lord, we thank you for the International Pentecostal Holiness Church worldwide, and that you have a people, God, all over the world. And we thank you, Lord, for those who have come today that want to follow you in water baptism, Lord, and they're making a statement today. And, Lord, they're letting the world and the devil know that they are dead to sin and alive unto God forevermore. Bless us today. Seat us in heavenly places. Give us revelation. Heal your people as only you can do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, the Bible is a Bible about the healing power of God. And so many times our relationships need healing. And sometimes we just need a healing that we know that all our sins have been cast into a sea of forgetfulness and that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But water baptism is one of the two God-given ordinances in the New Testament church. There's Holy Communion and water baptism. We're not saved by taking Holy Communion, and we're not saved by being baptized in water. We take Holy Communion, and we follow the Lord in water baptism because we are saved. It's actually faith in action. It's an act of obedience. But both are examples of faith in action, and both are done in obedience to the Lord's command. The importance of water baptism, it is made very clear in the Scriptures. It is an outward expression, a witness to the world, of an inward work that has already taken place in the human heart of the fully justified believer. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it is not the water that saves us, but it is grace that saves us through faith. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God, the Holy Spirit, touched your heart and gave you revelation that you were lost, that you were a sinner, that you needed to be saved. The Scriptures say, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. and you realize that I'm going to be judged someday, and I need to get my heart right with God. That's the truth for the whole world. Everybody is going to stand either before the judgment seat of Christ or before the great white throne judgment. You do not want to stand before the great white throne judgment. That is a judgment of sinners, those who died in their sin, who rejected Jesus Christ and would not receive him as their Lord and Master. We're not saved by works. If we could be saved by works, then we could boast that I saved myself. No one can be saved except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if water baptism could save us, then the thief on the cross, he would have been in big trouble. He never got the chance to be baptized. He was saved simply because he believed that Jesus Christ was Lord. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That was an act right there of true repentance. See, God looks on the heart. You know, God knows the thought and intent of our heart. And when a man said, Lord, remember me, the thief on the cross, Jesus said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. So it is the blood that saves and not the water. But we follow the Lord in water baptism to fulfill all righteousness, just like he did. And so when you're born again and saved, it is an inward work. It is a work that cannot be observed by the natural eye. But when you're baptized in water, it is an outward witness of what has already taken place in the human heart. It is a testimony that you have died to sin. It's a testimony to the world. It's a testimony to the flesh that you have made Jesus Christ Lord and Master of your life. So when Jesus came to John that day, and John the Baptist saw him walking down that dusty road, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So you have a sin nature. Sins are the acts we commit. But sin is the nature that needs to be changed. And Peter said, we're made partakers of his divine nature after we're saved, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. This is a corrupt world. And this world is under the influence of the devil. He is the king of darkness. He is a king. He is a dignitary. He has power, but he has no power over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because all authority and all power belongs to Jesus. And Jesus said, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents, go on praising scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So Jesus, he came and he was baptized, and John said, I need to be baptized of you. But Jesus said, no, John, you need to do this in order to fulfill all righteousness. And when Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens blasted open. The Holy Ghost descended on him in the form of a dove, and the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus is our perfect example. And if Jesus was baptized in the water by immersion, then you and I need to follow him in water baptism. So point number one, who should be baptized? Who should be baptized? Every born again believer, those who have experienced the new birth, they are the ones who should be baptized. They're the ones who need a local church. They're the ones who need to be a part of the body of Christ somewhere, a place where you can fellowship with people of like precious faith. Every born again believer should be baptized. Look at Romans 8:16. The Bible says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How many know what I'm talking about? That you've got a little inward voice, hallelujah, that tells you that you are saved and that you belong to God. That's a wonderful feeling to have, because you cannot have the peace of God that passeth all understanding until you have the Prince of Peace living in your heart. So I'm not talking about shaking a preacher's hand this morning. I'm not talking about joining a church or some denomination. I'm not talking about doing good works. I am talking about God's amazing grace and being regenerated and being born again by the power of Calvary's blood. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. I'm talking about an inward work, something that has taken place in your heart, and now you know that you are saved. You know that you know, and you're sure that you're sure. You don't wonder. You know I have been saved. I am born again. Jesus Christ lives in my heart. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm bone of his bone. I'm flesh of his flesh. Praise God. My citizenship is not in this world. My citizenship is in heaven. And I'm looking for a land whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. And I'm on my upward way, singing and praising God and living a life of victory while I'm here on this planet, letting the world know that Jesus Christ is real. He's not a denominational Jesus. He's not a religious Jesus. He's the Jesus of the Bible, and he lives in my heart, and I love him, and he loves me, and I'm connected. I'm one with him. Christ is in me, and I'm in Christ, and my name is in the book, and I'm on my way to heaven. That's what we're celebrating today. Water baptism speaks of all of that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm talking about an inward work, and those who've experienced this inward work, they're the ones who should be saved. It is faith in action, and we do it in obedience to the Lord's command. Well, what did he command? Look at what Jesus said in Mark 16:16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I mean, we've got the message of salvation, that you don't have to die and go to hell. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, but you can be born again, and you can have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can be free from sin and its dominion. Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified with him, that henceforth we should not serve sin, but he that is dead is free from sin. Amen. So if you believe and if you've been born again, you belong to Jesus, and you should follow the Lord's example and be baptized. Now look at what Jesus said as part of the Great Commission in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 19. He said, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. See, we baptize people in the authority of the name of Jesus. That's the authority that we have. We have the authority to use his name. He has given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We are the triumphant, victorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we are winners, and we cannot lose, because Jesus is the captain of our salvation, and he has made us more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, go and teach. That's what I'm doing right now. Hallelujah. So we baptize people in the authority of the name of Jesus, but we baptize them according to the biblical formula that Jesus gave, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I do it like this. In the name of Jesus, by his authority, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we got all the bases covered. Amen. So every born-again believer should be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we do that as an outward expression to let the world know that we belong to Jesus. So, who should be baptized? Secondly, if a person backslides and they go away from God for a long period of time and they come back to the Lord, the Bible says to do your first works over. Jesus is speaking to his church. Now, listen to what Jesus said in Revelation 2 and 4. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He didn't say you lost it. He said you left it. He says, come back. He's always saying, that's his favorite word, I believe, is come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Now, if a person goes away from God and they stay out in sin for a long period of time, and the people around them know that they've lived like that, and then they come back to the Lord, they should do their first works over. You do this as a public witness before human beings that you have repented, and now you are living a Christian life to the best of your ability. This could be a point of controversy with some. But if you really want to go to heaven, You won't care how many times you are baptized. Just do it to fulfill all righteousness. You do that, first work's over, so the devil will not be able to bring up any condemnation against you. He is the accuser of the brethren. He will come and accuse you. And he will tell you, you're not who you think you are. But let me tell you this, he never told you that before you got saved.
That's right.
But now that you're in the body, he will accuse you and try to take your faith and diminish it. But all you need to do to get your faith to flourish is to read the word, hear the word preached, get together with people of like precious faith, stay in the book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is the word. Hallelujah. He lives in you. He can quicken your mortal body by the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Praise God. He can heal you while I'm preaching the word this morning. He can give you that revelation. He can give you that victory while I'm preaching the word. Water baptism means something. It is faith in action. And you're telling the world, the devil and the flesh, I'm dead to sin. I'm alive unto God. And I'm a victorious Christian because I'm going to obey God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Point two. Why should a Christian be baptized? Well, we do it to fulfill all righteousness. Secondly, we do it to follow the Lord's example. And then we do it in obedience to the Lord's command. See, when you go down in the water of baptism, we're saying to the world, I am dead to sin, and I have been crucified with Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this fleshly body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm dead to sin. He said, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Know you not that whomsoever you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are, whether sin unto death, obedience unto righteousness. We obey God. And when we obey God, praise God, we walk in victory. If your heart doesn't condemn you, you have confidence toward God. Hallelujah. So the water lets the world know that we're dead to sin. And when we come up, that we're alive unto God. The water is also symbolic of the fact that we are planted together in the likeness of his death, and we are raised in the newness of his life. We are raised with resurrection power in us. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 6 and 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So you have resurrection power if you're a child of God in you right now, the quickening power of God that can heal you from the inside out, that can give you joy unspeakable that's full of glory, that can give you peace, hallelujah, in the midst of the storm, that can help you through the adversities of life. Because you have an inward voice that say, you're my property. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. We're born again. Glory to God. We're identified with Christ in his death. We're identified with him in his burial. We're identified with him in his resurrection. We are actually identified with him in his ascension. And we are already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. This identification with Christ, this is the secret to a victorious Christian life. If you ever get these principles, this is the secret to living a life of total victory in Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 2 and 12. Paul said, buried with him, with Jesus, in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Brother, would you do me a favor and bring me that little glass of water over there? Hallelujah. See, we are buried with him. We are raised in the newness of his life. Hallelujah. Thank you. I appreciate that. May God give you a prophet's reward, brother. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to look at what the Bible says to do after you're saved. Look at Acts 22:16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. See, we are not to wash away our sins by being baptized, as some would teach, but we are to wash away our sins by calling on the name of the Lord, as the Scriptures teach, and then we're to be baptized in water. See, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And water baptism is not the cleansing factor. It is the proving factor to let the world know, hallelujah, that we are saved, that we belong to Jesus, that we are in this world, but praise God, we are citizens of another world. We are actually ambassadors from God, ambassadors Christ, to beseech others that they be reconciled to God, because we have this great salvation and we love being a Christian so much. And we love seeing people come to God, because we understand from the Bible that eternity is beckoning to each one of us. It's calling our name. And we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Will it be in the splendors of heaven or the horrors of hell? Water baptism says, I choose heaven. I choose Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Water baptism is not the cleansing factor. It is the proving factor. Look at what Paul said in Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, it's not the washing in the water that regenerates us. It's the regeneration that comes through the blood. Hallelujah. We're regenerated by the blood of Jesus. So it's the blood which washes and which cleanses you from all sin, and not the water. Number three, how should a Christian be baptized? These are all questions that we need answered, because we need to know the significance and the importance of water baptism. It's not just the fact that we're going under some water. It's symbolic of a work that Jesus did at the cross, and it's symbolic of a work that he's done in our hearts, and we're going to fulfill all righteousness. So how should a Christian be baptized? God expects every Christian to be baptized in water by immersion, and there is a reason for that. There's a reason. Now, first of all, he wants to see if the new believer will obey him. I said it's water baptism is faith in action. Hallelujah. So are you going to obey the Lord? Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So it's important that we live our life according to what the Word of God says, according to the best of our ability. So God wants every believer to be baptized in water by immersion. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he said, and teach them. So we're to teach some things, amen? So the first thing that should happen is we should get saved. And the second thing is we should be baptized. We're following the Lord's example. The Bible says in Romans 6 that we're buried with him in baptism, and that we are raised up in him to walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Glory to God, he took my place on the cross where he died my sins to erase. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Praise God. I'm saved by grace. Can I get a witness out there? Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus a standing ovation. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved by grace. That's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? That's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you, oh evil, the victory win? That wonderful power in the blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are buried with him and raised to walk in the newness of life. See, Jesus went down into the water and then he came up out of the water. He was immersed in water. Philip and the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. So the Bible teaches that baptism is an immersion in water. The Greek word baptizo means to dip under, and there's a reason for that. And this is what a lot of people don't understand right here, what I'm fixing to say. When you first receive Jesus, you go and present yourself to be baptized in water by immersion to follow him. I know some people are sprinkled, and I know that others, you know, have had water poured on them, and I'm not making light of that. But water baptism, as far as God is concerned, is to preach a message to the world. Water baptism, as far as God is concerned, it is to preach a message to the world. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. When you go down in this water and come up, you will be. Hallelujah. You are preaching a message to the world, and you're letting the world know. You're not only just the people here, but, you know, you're letting the world know, I am dead to sin, and I've been raised in the newness of life. So when you go down in that water and are buried, you're saying, I believe that Jesus Christ came into this world and died for me and was buried. And then when they bring you up out of the water, you are saying, I believe he rose again from the dead. And I am saying to the world, I used to be a sinner living for the world, but I've turned my back on that. And God has given me resurrection power. I've been born again. I'm saved. Glory to God. A transformation has taken place in my life. I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom I have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And now, praise God, my name is in the book, and I'm saved, saved, saved by grace. Hallelujah. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. The Holy Ghost has made me his temple. Hallelujah. Not only that, but think about this. One day, if Jesus tarries, this old body is going to die. If he tarries, this body of mine is going to die. Yours is too. And they're going to put it in the ground. So when you come up out of that water, you're saying, ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Hallelujah. You're going to be resurrected. So we don't need to destroy the message by changing the mode of water baptism. We don't change the message by destroying the mode. We follow Jesus as our perfect example. Real baptism is immersion of a born-again believer in water to be planted and to be raised again. We do it to fulfill all righteousness. We do it to follow the Lord's example. We do it in obedience to the Lord's command. We do it to say to the world, I am dead to sin. I am born again. I'm a new creation in Christ, and I belong to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank those of you who are watching by live stream today. We're going to depart from live stream at this time in our service. Thank you for being with us this morning. I invite you to come back, join us for the evening service at 6 p.m. Pastor Ricky Nelms is going to be preaching a powerful message in the evening service. So thank you for being with us this day. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.